Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
He's seems pretty bullish, as do all of us on what the Aztecs have done this off-season basketball. Of course, we got a football season to get to before that, but always good to catch up with Mark. 4:01 is the time. Hour number three, we got Chris versus the fans here in just a sec. Chance for you to win fabulous cash and prizes. Well, actually, well, $150 gift card you could win, so it is cash, right? Tickets to... see either Disturbed, Ghost, or Pantera in Las Vegas. Two-night stay at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And the gift card. You can get tickets out there for all three shows now at Ticketmaster.com. We'll play Christopher with the fans. Quick update, Mets and Washington. And this is how baseball can go. In their last 11 games, the Padres have scored 23 runs. The Mets have almost scored that many today. They're leading 19-5. In the bottom of the ninth inning. It's been quite the day for Brandon Nimmo fans. Four for six, two homers, nine RBIs. That'll get her done. Although in his last at bat, he faced shortstop Ahmed Rosario pitching for Washington, and he grounded out. So there you go. Speaking of big games, how about Eugenio Suarez?
Man.
Four bombs.
And a loss.
In a loss.
Hang with them, dog.
Yeah, only the second time in modern history that's ever happened.
It's hard to hit four homers and be on the losing side of that.
Bob Horner did it many years ago as a Brave and lost to the, I think it was the Expos the night he did his four home run game. But not a bad day for old A. Eugenio, who's now the MLB leader with 10 on the year. Scrape, you ready for a little Chris versus the fans?
Yeah, I just hate how the Diamondbacks are playing well.
They didn't win the game.
I know, but still, they are playing well.
All right.
Just thought of mine.
You don't, because you're not, your team's not playing well, you don't want anybody to play well.
Isn't that how it works?
I think so. Misery does love company.
Isn't that what company?
Aren't you guys hoping for every other team to be terrible this year, really, except for the Padres?
I don't care about every other team. I only care about the Padres and the teams that are in their division. I want them to all lose.
Yeah.
So
but
that's why, yeah.
I don't care about the Mets, the
Nationals.
The Angels.
Yankees.
There's a bunch of them. You can go down the list.
All right.
About the other 25 teams. It just
annoys me when teams are good like that, when they're not supposed
We were still good.
But the Padres are supposed to be good.
And who's not?
And the Diamondbacks were in the World Series 2 years ago.
We all know that was a fluke.
Okay. They came storming back last year before we burst their bubble.
Why don't we play before you say a lot of more dumb things?
Touche.
Good point.
Crazy.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris, did you announce the second prize? I'm sorry, I was too focused on my Diamondback hate.
No, I didn't.
Okay, because you're going to win two tickets to Rodney Carrington at California Center for the Arts, Escondido, on August 29th. Get tickets now at artcenter.org. So, Rodney Carrington, you're going to win those tickets today. The rules, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, nice job.
My mic was off, sorry.
Nice job, everybody. Then let us know and you'll get the first question for free today. All right, let's get to our contestants now.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go to Lewis in Poway.
Lewis, in my place, Poway. What's up,
hey,
Lewis?
How you guys doing?
Very good, my friend.
Hey, before I leave you, Chris, on Chris and Woods, Graves, today is your lucky day, man.
Okay.
I'm going to Philly next week, so you know. Talk about something.
Oh, Lewis, that is hilarious. I'm not going to put that on you though, because this guy seems like he's going to make it difficult.
Hey, what a great idea!
What a nice guy, Lewis will deliver the belt for you.
I will deliver the belt. You know, let's talk about what you're going to do for me, though. You know,
see, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Good thinking, Lewis. Good thinking.
Transactional only.
You're talking to a guy who can't offer much.
All right, Lewis.
Actually, people said, Tony, that you should bring it with when you go to Philly late June. So I'll give it to you.
Okay.
So you can take
it to Philly.
I'll
take Phily with me then.
But thank you for the offer, Lewis. That was
Tony
nice.
Will leave it at the top of the.
I leave my own stuff.
Leave it at the top of the rocky stairs and make the person jog up to get them.
All right, here we go. First question, Lewis. What player was selected number one overall in the NFL draft?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward indeed was.
Nice job.
Well done.
Question number two.
By the way, his story is awesome.
I know.
It's crazy.
Was it Incarnate?
Incarnate Word.
Incarnate Word?
Yeah, because no one wanted
Washington
to give him an offer.
State?
Yeah.
Miami.
Crazy. Number one pick.
At Washington National Games, what run around the stadium is a... At Washington National Games, what runs around the stadium in a race? That's a
president.
Wow. He got it. I was going to say, that's kind of a weird way to ask that, but he got it. He knew what you were saying.
He was on it.
Question.
At least he could have guessed sausages, but that would have been
Do you enjoy the president's race?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but that would have been a Milwaukee thing.
Nice work.
Yeah, and the freeze is Atlanta.
Freeze. Are they still doing it?
I don't know.
I haven't seen any highlights in a while. This year.
The Padres used to do the characters from... you know, the Will Ferrell San Diego movie, which I'm...
Did they?
Oh, Anchorman? Yes, they did.
Anchorman characters.
Yes, they did. Yes, they
did. They did that for a whole season.
Yes,
now they
did.
Only do it once in a while.
They had, like...
What years was this?
Ooh, I don't know.
Was this in the rough
ones? Just before you started, I think,
doing the
game.
Yeah, it was. It was, but I do remember this, yes.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Question number three.
Luis has waited long enough. Let's go.
Oh, this is a good one. Which two teams faced off in the first... official World Series back in Chris's time of 1903.
Did you actually put that in there?
No, I didn't ad-lib that.
No.
First World Series,
oh,
1903.
Oh, wow. In 1903, huh?
Who was it?
Let's go with the Boston Braves.
Boston, okay.
And the Yankees, I don't know.
Boston Braves and Yankees.
Stay there.
Now you're going to hate me.
I knew you were going to.
Well, he was watching the game.
I umped.
I umped.
You umped
second
base umpire.
Man, how are we just learning about
this? You've been an umpire in many different forms of life, huh?
Right, in 120 years as an umpire.
And when you, in 1903, you go, strike called here, ball here, strike, here.
It was Pittsburgh and Boston. Pittsburgh won the series, I believe, 5-3.
I need the Boston name.
Pilgrims.
Pretty sure. Are you going to buzz me for that?
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
Don't come to me. You're the judge. You buzzed
Tony,
me.
Tony, what do you think? Here is the answer. The answer is, yes, the Pirates. But the other answer is the Boston Americans.
That's fine. If you want to... Luis, he's a good dude. Sorry with me.
Judge, what are you deciding here?
Huh? Luis, you win.
I feel like this is a very unpopular decision, but nice job, Luis.
Nice
You're
going
to have
Luis.
To stay right there. By the way, I have a little note on this game. Due to the overflow crowds at the Exposition Park games in Allegheny City, if a batted ball rolled under a rope in the outfield that held spectators back,
a ground rule triple
would be scored. 17 ground rule triples were hit in the four games played at the stadium. 17 ground rule triples.
Balls just rolling under the rope.
Yes, I ruled a ground rule triple on a couple of those.
Okay,
so Chris, tell us how you came up with the ground rule triple.
Well, it seemed like the good idea at the time. I believe there's an actual ground rule triple in current Major League Baseball.
There is?
There is. If you throw your glove
at a
batted ball.
You cannot do that.
And do you have to hit the ball or just throw it?
No, you just have to, you have to
intentionally throw your glove trying to knock down a line drive or something. That is a triple. I don't know how they ever arrived at that.
Yeah. That is kind of crazy, yeah.
I've seen it once.
Yeah, I haven't seen it myself. I don't know why I thought the Pilgrims. I guess Boston never was the Pilgrims, so I got them confused, but Boston Americans, 1903.
I'm being told very I'm a good. Hard judger. So.
Also, I was also wrong. Boston won the series.
Yes,
over
they
Pittsburgh.
Did. And it was like eight or nine games, too.
Well, it was always best of nine.
Best
back
of nine.
In the day.
That's insane.
Best of nine.
It's best of nine, but hey.
They weren't playing as many regular season games either at that point. So
it was best of nine, but hey, if it rolls under the rope, triple.
Ground rule triple.
Well, is that any different than a player throwing his glove at a ball?
I think it's because they didn't have a fence.
Yeah, I was about to say, you could just be hitting ground balls for triples like all game long.
Hit a worm burner out there and you get a triple.
Worm burner.
All right. This is not me. This is you, Chris.
Good for you, Luis. Congrats. Stay on the line. Scraby will pick you up there. Consider yourself a fortunate winner today. I believe Scraby was very kind to award you the title when I come up with a World Series matchup from 122 years ago, and you don't give it to me.
I don't think, well, you didn't get the team right.
Well, you're ridiculous. You're absolutely
you didn't get the
team
right.
You're a stickler. Yes, he's a stickler for accurate facts. We know this.
I don't think it's crazy that you knew who played in the first World Series.
I almost choked on this when you did that.
I don't.
You're always looking for accuracy.
I am the most accurate person on the show.
Sure you are. Yeah. All right, we'll take a timeout here. A little traffic coming up. Much more Gwen and Chris ahead, and the merry developments will ensue following a short timeout.
What you got?
I love this headline.
Give it to me.
I'm not telling you which side of the fence I'm on.
Okay.
I like the headline. President Trump endorses the tush push. As the Eagles visit White House.
I think that is kind of funny.
I do, too. Telling you what side I'm on to the tush-push side, but I just think it's a funny headline. Eagles
really
evidently
funny.
Came to the White House.
Jalen Hurts
did
not
push.
Go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I don't know about all that stuff. I'm just bringing up the fact that the leader of the free world is a fan of the tush-push.
Tush-push. Stop
there you
it.
Go.
Is he an Eagle fan? Honestly, I'm asking. An NFL, or not an NFL team.
He owned the New Jersey Generals
in
the United States Football League, and the first person he snagged was
Herschel Walker,
yes, who then became famous for...
That all makes sense to you.
Wow.
You don't know who Herschel Walker is?
I know who Herschel Walker is, but it just made the connection for me.
Oh, right, Herschel's now a...
It just made the connection.
He's now a...
The Eagles, great.
You know... The White House stuff can get kind of crazy with athletes and teams because I was talking to a Dodgers fan over the weekend, and they were very angry at their team.
I don't know if you saw our good pal Dylan Hernandez, his article.
It was pretty scathing. Basically, people were wondering why the Dodgers went to the White House when they were kind of erasing Jackie Robinson's records. And so people were not happy that the Dodgers were so excited to be there as Jackie Robinson's records were being erased.
Rightfully so.
And this Dodgers fan was like, to the point where they were like, I can't cheer for them right now because that was so egregious to me. So it can cause a lot of conversation.
It gets a little tricky.
A little dicey.
Dylan Hernandez's article was indeed scathing and pointed. Mookie Betts responded to it as the lone black athlete on the Dodgers. I don't know if he still is, but he was several years ago when he had chosen not to go to the White House, I think, the first time around.
Yes.
But this time he went. He explained why. So if that's stuff that interests you, you can find it all.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to make it about him, which I do kind of appreciate, because it does. Now we're talking about Jalen Hurts not being there, it takes it into a different direction. But anyway,
all I said was that the guy endorsed the tush push.
I wanted to talk
to you guys about that.
I'm so happy.
Let's
you
talk
did.
About policy now.
Let's not.
No,
let's
I'm just talk. Kidding. I have no idea about policy.
How about more important things? The Cleveland Browns say they will not exercise quarterback Kenny Pickett's fifth-year option, now leaves the Browns with four quarterbacks.
They really have three because Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles again.
It'll be Joe Flacco or the two rookies, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders.
Joe Flacco's like, what, now I'm a babysitter?
Now I got just two rookies with me in the room.
I think Shedeur Sanders is going to play. I think he's going to do well. I have a weird feeling. I don't know. You know, Mel Kiper, who's not my all-time favorite.
That's your guy.
Here's the thing with Mel. I don't want to say he's growing on me, but I've learned that I have to live with him now at the draft. And, you know, he at least will take a side. I'll give him that. And, you know, people are...
Sometimes at a bad decision
sometimes. Oh, my goodness. He said that Jamarcus Russell would be the next John Elway.
Wait, yeah.
So that was one of his more famous ones. He's had many others.
It's not so much... that he picks the side, it's how hard he picks the
side. Yeah, and who he compares these people to.
According to Mel Kiper, the Detroit Lions were idiots for drafting Megatron when they could have had Brady Quinn.
Yes, that's
right.
I sent you guys a video of all of Mel Kiper's greatest hits.
I went through that.
His last one, Jimmy Clausen. If he's not a great quarterback... I'm done. I'm out.
That was one of my favorites.
And everybody's like, okay, we're waiting.
Jury's still out on Jimmy Clausen.
No, it's not.
Mel Kiper's mind it is.
But he thinks Shedeur's going to be great. And I don't, you know, I think this kid has a chance. If he handles this slight in the right way, he certainly has the skill and ability. So I hope that he just really works his butt off to prove everybody wrong. I hope he makes a list of all the teams that needed quarterbacks that passed on him four times. I hope he notes that the Giants got Jackson Dart, and I hope he notes some of the other quarterbacks where they went. And he wants to, you know, stick it to all those people. This can turn out to be a blessing in disguise.
I want him to be like Amon-Ra. St. Brown.
He has a list.
Yeah.
He can name it, memorized it.
All 10 wide receivers that were taken ahead of him.
He could tell you the team, the time. I want that to be Shedeur. I hope that he does. I was listening to a guy I used to work out with, Gerald McCoy. He's now doing CBS.
He was a Brown, was he not? At some point, or Buccaneers.
Buccaneer. Yeah.
And he went somewhere else before he retired.
I think Carolina. He went to a couple different places. But... he was saying that, and it was very tough football talk. Basically, he's like, don't want to see any social media unless it's like a paid sponsor type deal. I don't want to see none of that. I just want to see you kind of disappear, and all of a sudden you pop up because you have earned whatever is coming your way. And that's not to say that he hasn't. Remember, this is a kid that took Jackson State from irrelevance to a team that we were covering. Did the same thing at Colorado. But as Gerald said, this is the NFL now. This is the best of the best. We don't want to hear from you unless you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And
it's going to be hard for him not to be heard from, because every time the guy walks out of his house to go get a sandwich, there's an article on him.
We don't want to hear from you on your behalf. If someone else is talking about you, so be it. You can't control none of that. But I think...
that's great advice.
I think from what I have... seen of him, I think he's capable of just putting his head down, going to work.
Well, this is the best spot that I can think of.
You know who else I thought, and it's on the Colorado same timeline. I thought Jacksonville's pick was tremendous.
Travis Hunter?
I hadn't thought about the fact, you know, he's a Florida boy. He's going to be playing in his hometown. They need somebody like a Travis Hunter. They already got, you know, their quarterback situation. Well, we think they have their quarterback situation taken care of. They're just trying to fill around them.
Yes, I hope the fans in London love him.
Because they're going to be playing
most of their games there.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, you get a passport, Travis. Well, you're going to be using it.
And I know that, you know, Scraby, I don't know how you felt about your 49ers draft, but the Dolphins was pathetic. And, you know, Kiper had them 30th. He had them 30th out of 32 teams, trumped only by the USA Today reporter today, who had them 31st out of 32 teams.
What did they do that was so bad?
It's what they didn't do.
They didn't
add to their offensive line, which is...
where did they pick at?
They were 13th. They got a defensive line.
This was supposed to be an offensive line draft.
They didn't add to their offensive line. They added a defensive lineman who was only the second best guy in his own team and was probably carried by the guy that was next to him.
I read that
with their 13th pick?
Yeah.
I read that Mason Graham, I think is his name.
He was the first one chosen by somebody better. The Dolphins took the second guy from Michigan.
Okay, well, he is apparently, from what I read, has the best conditioning of any defensive lineman in the draft.
Well, he's going to need it because he's going to have to be running up and
down. He's in Miami. It's hot.
It's going to be pathetic. The offensive lineman they took from Arizona in the second pick, they traded up to get. Everybody said they didn't need to. The only interesting pick the Dolphins made, I thought, was their last pick, Quinn Ewers, the quarterback from Texas.
Seventh.
Who actually might be something someday as a backup. Who knows? But they also drafted a running back for the 28th year in a row that they don't need. And they really should have taken like four offensive linemen and three cornerbacks. That's what they should have done. But they can't help themselves to just be dumb.
I'm sorry, man.
I know.
That you had to go through that.
I did. It was terrible.
You should have heard him on draft night, Tony. He was like, coming up next, we'll see what dumb pick the Dolphins make.
And they didn't let me down.
They set you up perfectly.
I thought the 49ers did a great job.
Happy with that.
They do what they – this is what they do. They take a ton of defensive players in the draft, see which ones hit, and then they took a quarterback in the seventh round. I don't really know. Rourke from Indiana. Where did they rank? Where did USA Today rank the 49ers?
I'm looking for them as you speak, and
you're going to have to look at the top.
You know what? You might be right, because I'm going to the front page. Nope, they're not on the front page.
They're probably middle of the pack.
They didn't get ranked. No, they got to be here somewhere.
Here comes the newspaper.
The newspaper shuffling. I can't find the 49ers!
Well, let's do this.
It doesn't matter.
You look for it while we're on a break. We're going to get to break. Big Five on the other side. More Gwynn and Chris.
Still waiting to hear the highlight of Tony Gwynn's home run at Yankee Stadium in 1998. If you hear that highlight,
the OG.
You hear it.
The OG, not me.
Yeah, the OG Gwynn.
Yeah.
You never homered off the facade at Yankee Stadium?
Never got to play there.
No,
that would have been
Stadium.
Pretty sweet.
When you hear that highlight, though, be the first to call in. 833-288-0973. Two tickets to tomorrow night's Padres-Gigantes game.
Gigantes.
Gigantes are in first place in the NL West. By the way, guys, take a look at the standings while you have a second here.
Let me pull them up.
What do we have here, Scrape? Big Five?
Yes.
Okay, we can't do this whole thing then.
Yeah.
Never mind. We'll look at the standings shortly. But your Big Five is more important than the standings.
Wow.
Scheduled.
And
can I tell Tony's story before we get into it? Because
do we have time?
You got one?
Yeah. It's
you want to delay your own Big Five? That's your business.
No. This is going to take 2 minutes. But I think it was Friday night's game. I enjoy listening to Tony and Jesse on the way home. I enjoy listening to Tony who was on the TV with Don. But I thought it was really funny when Don said, "Do you have more or less than 1,000 hits?"
And what did I say?
And you were like, "I think less." And you're like, "I don't even know. I got to go check."
I said, "I don't think." What did I say? I said I didn't have enough to be counting them, is what I said.
That is what you said.
I didn't have enough to be counting them.
And so I was like, oh, well, they're looking. Tony's actually looking on his phone during a game. Maybe I'll help and send it to him. But
did you send it to me?
No. Once I saw the number, I was like, he doesn't need me to send
it. I'm not embarrassed by my 300-plus hits.
You shouldn't be.
I wasn't saying that either.
No, here's the rub. Tony had 1,600 at-bats. If he had 1,000 hits, he would have been a 600 career hitter.
Man.
You would have been pretty good.
That would have been good.
I just thought it was funny how, like, Don goes 1,000 and he's like, whoa, a little bit off.
I was like, Don, not even close to 1,000, bro.
He asked you,
I barely had 1,000 at-bats.
Yeah, next time he asks you, tell him he had 23 triples. See how he handles that.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I think so.
23 triples is
and
very
those aren't
impressive.
The kind that rolled under the rope.
Those are legit triples for sure. It's the cost of doing business at that level. You know, I wasn't as talented as some of these guys.
You were pretty talented, if you ask me.
Yeah, you got one more at bat than I do in the major.
He had 23. He had 23 triples and one that every Padre fan will forever hate.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite of all.
Probably your favorite one.
To be fair,
I had to share that though.
I know.
I was cracking up on my couch when Tony and John were talking about that.
All right, let's check traffic, sir.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about here in the Big Five. We're going to talk about Xander Bogaerts. We're going to talk about Steph Curry. We're going to talk about Jared Kelnick, Devin Williams, and then a situation that I had yesterday at the baseball game that I was not a part of. But I'm going to ask your guys' opinion on etiquette at a baseball game. So we'll get into that.
Etiquette questions.
Yeah, this is a good etiquette question because I'm very curious to hear what you guys have to say about it. But let's get into this.
Number five.
Xander Bogaerts has struggled this year. There's no way around that. Hitting in the second and or fourth spot in the lineup, his struggles are more pronounced, according to Kevin Acey, because... But there's still cause for concern after his slow start. Bogaerts posted a sub-700 OPS last season, and he's now at 662 this season. His clutch numbers with the Padres have been poor. 631 OPS across three seasons with men in scoring position. And this was actually an AJ Cassavell newsletter. This was asked by the Scrabinator KG, Chris, would it help to DH Xander only and let him focus on that for a bit?
I don't think so. First of all, Tony will speak to this better than I will, but DHing is a whole different animal from the field.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yes. Some guys are good at it. And they get used to it. Other guys don't really love it. They really don't know what to do with themselves for an hour and a half in between at bats sometimes. It's kind of an acquired taste, I think, being a DH. So, no, I don't think you need to complicate it, honestly. Xander doesn't need that. As I said earlier in the program, I would drop him down in the order once the team gets healthier. Give him a chance to just kind of relax and start hitting some line drives and, you know, worry about production, as it were, you know, once you get back going again. Because production, I mean, you can't have a cleanup hitter with zero RBIs in 3 weeks. That's hard to believe, honestly. And, you know, it's a critical thing to say, but it's true, so... I would move him down. That's how I would help get him out of this.
Tony, do you think it would help for Xander to DH only and let him focus on that?
No, I don't think it would help at all. You get out of this by continuing to show up and play. And just, you got to hit your way out of it. It's just the way it is. If he can't, then you have to eventually... have that conversation, but I don't think that we're there in terms of him needing to be taken out of position. He's got to start hitting. I think all the other stuff takes care of itself once he gets to a place where he's swinging the bat good. Defense gets better. All that starts to kind of move in the right direction. He had a bad defensive series.
I was going to say, can we chalk up that to maybe pressing?
Yeah, for sure. Again, he probably more so than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played up to his expectation. So, yeah, I get it. Everybody's frustrated with Bogey, but there's no new shortstop walking through that door.
I wonder if he's making $5 million if everybody's as mad.
No. They would still say, he's stealing money.
I don't necessarily think he's stealing money because he just accepted a contract offer, but...
He's just not playing well. It has nothing to do with the money. Like, he could be making $5 and he still would be playing the same way.
He's not playing any worse than Yuli Gurriel is, but nobody seems to mention Gurriel.
Oh, no, they mention him. That's in my DMs too.
You're like that one too. Yeah.
Like it's like I have anything to do with that.
Well, yeah, you do. No, he doesn't.
Number four.
Do not send Tony messages about roster moves. I read this morning on ESPN about Steph Curry earlier in the season telling Draymond Green, quote, "This is our last ride. Tonight, Steph is going to play his 151st NBA postseason game, and the Warriors have a 2-1 series lead over the Rockets. He might be able to extend it a little more if they keep winning. So, Tony, do you believe this is Steph Curry and Draymond Green's last ride?"
I did before they got
Jimmy Butler. And extended him.
Once they got Jimmy, he's probably bought at least another 2 years. Assuming Jimmy doesn't all of a sudden get old. I mean, you keep landing on your tailbone like that, though.
That hurts.
It,
Jimmy will leave there before 2 years. He'll get tired of Golden State for one reason or another.
Well, listen, how long is the extension?
I think two.
So, okay, exactly. You got 2 years then.
Hopefully he'll keep
that. However long the extension is how long you can extend it, because that's how long Jimmy's going to be happy.
Chris, do you think this is Draymond Green and Steph Curry's last ride?
How old's Green? He looks older than he is, right? Because
he's two years younger than Curry.
Oh, he's younger than Curry.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the two
he's
of them
35.
Next to Draymond Green looks like he's 45.
Yeah, Steph, he never ages.
Steph's 36?
If he didn't have facial hair, you wouldn't even think he was old at all. Does he have any gray? I don't know if I've even seen any Steph gray.
I don't think he
gray.
Has any stubble.
He has a beard, I think.
That's right. He's got a beard. Sorry.
We still think of him as the baby-faced assassin
baby
over
faced.
Here.
Yeah, he's still baby-faced. I don't really know where it stands. I know that the Warriors have a chance to win the NBA title this year because of those two
they
guys,
do.
Though. Hey, that's all I can say. I'm so impressed. We talked about Draymond earlier. He is blowing up the Houston offense by himself. And Steph Curry, I just marvel. I'm out of words to describe his shooting ability. And,
this man puts somebody
so
in a
unbelievable.
Forget his shooting, his conditioning. This man put somebody in the hospital from having to guard him.
Who?
What was his name?
Oh, Dela Dedova?
Yeah, Dela Dedova. Dela Dedova, how do you say his name?
Yeah.
He had to go to the emergency room after guarding him in that final.
That is kind of crazy.
Dude was just taxed.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm rooting pretty hard for the Warriors in this series.
Yeah, me too.
As hard as I ever have.
Me too.
Because I just, Dylan the Villain's driving me nuts.
The name Dylan the Villain
just really
is so
want,
good, though.
I really want Draymond to end up getting the better of him, and I think he's going to.
I just want to see some antics after, like, they get the lead in this game tonight, and the game is starting to be over. The antics of Draymond is going to be the thing I'm watching.
Oh, yes.
Because there has been so much talking on, not only from the players, but from Houston's head coach as well. There's been a lot of chirping. And I just have a feeling Draymond, if they get this win tonight, he is going to have a lot to say.
Number three.
And I'm looking forward to it.
The Mets drafted now brave Jared Kelnick with the 6th overall pick of the 2018 Major League Baseball Amateur Draft. And then he was traded to the Mariners 6 months later, which brought Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz back to the Mets.
Dun, 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 dun.
He debuted. What is that?
That's the Diaz horn song.
Oh. Dude,
I just can't do it because I'm there.
Well, his hip, apparently. Did you see this whole thing where they found out his one leg was like longer than his other leg?
I promise you, the first time I saw him come out, that it was like noticeable.
Like he had one
like,
longer leg?
One of his legs looked like they were way longer. And then when I saw that report the other day, I was like, makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, Edwin Diaz, he went back to the Mets. He did. Kelnick debuted with the Mariners in 2021, but was traded to the Braves in December of 23. He has just been sent down to AAA Gwinnett after 60 at-bats, hitting 167, has a strikeout rate of 35%. Oh, yeah, he didn't hustle a second either that one time. I say all this to ask this. Say all that to ask this, and it has nothing to do with Jared Kelnick. Chris, when do you give up on a high drafted player?
Probably depends on the player, honestly.
Okay, let's just make it about Jared
Kelnick.
I mean,
I'm not trying to, he's had plenty of chances, but I'm not ready to, he could figure it out still. I think he's good enough to figure it out. I'm just looking at the 2018 Major League Baseball draft. You know, we poke fun at these NFL teams. Major League Baseball, it's really a coin flip.
It's even harder in Major League Baseball.
I mean,
Who was the number one that year?
I'm going to give you the seven picks, or the five picks before Jared Kelnick.
Okay.
Casey Mize, a pitcher. Joey
Detroit.
Bart, who's been...
Yeah.
Alec Bohm, who is an all-star last year, but not this year.
Philly.
Nick Madrigal, who's out by now. Jonathan India's hitting 200. And Jared Kelnick. Ryan Weathers was right after him by the Padres. Kyler Murray was in that top 10.
That's right. The Oakland took him.
Oakland
God,
took him
so
at number 9.
Dummies, you're picking a player who doesn't want to play baseball.
But my bottom line is only two of that first round has ever been an all-star. And that's 7 years ago.
All right.
Alec Bohm and Logan Gilbert have both been all-stars. Everybody else, not much. But no, I don't know that you give up. You let him play. I mean, down in the minor leagues, what do you got to lose? If he catches fire, you bring him up and see what he can do. I don't know that you give up, unless he wants to give up.
Yeah. Tony, when do you give up on a high-drafted player?
18 when Azu's picked? I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you got a little ways. Baseball is one of those sports the light can just go on all of a sudden and you figure it out. But it does depend really entirely on the prospect. Is this a stubborn guy? Is he having a hard time changing? Is he a hard time trying to do something different? Is he resisting it? Like, there's so many.
Is he hustling?
Well, you know, you want to keep going to that because Ronald was quite irritated by that.
I was irritated with Ronald.
Here's the thing about that. I don't think Ronald was so much irritated at the act. He was irritated by the response of his manager afterwards, I think is what irritated him.
When he said,
I didn't see it. What do you mean you didn't see it? You chased me up the stairway after I came in. You didn't see his, though? I'd have felt some way, too. I think you give Kelnick more time. I mean, not more time in terms of you keep running him out there, but you don't give up on.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two.
Excuse me.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Would you, like a cracker?
There's a cough button over
there.
I've used mine a few times.
That came out of nowhere. I didn't even have time for the cough button. Woof.
You good?
Devin Williams.
Need some water?
I think so. I don't know what the heck just happened.
I just want you to remember this the next time I go.
This happens like once every 6 years, Chris.
But you were like hacking on the
mic. It came out of nowhere. I was so upset by Devin Williams being removed from the closer role that I got choked up. But he's being removed from the closer role, quote, for right now. So he is struggling, and he was booed off the mound at Yankee Stadium in a loss to the Blue Jays over the weekend. He has an 11.25 ERA with career worst marks in strikeout rate, whiff rate, walk rate, and 8 innings across 10 appearances. Devin Williams said, with the way, it's not really a shock to me. Being a closer in a position you have to earn, and you have to keep earning it to continue to be in that role. So lately, I haven't been doing that, end quote. Luke Weaver is supposed to take over with the closer role for now. Tony, again, not really talking about Devin Williams, but if you look at everyone on the team, because I know what you guys are going to say, he's going to figure it out. Where do you rank closer? Like, Ace number one on the team?
Here's the thing about a closer. I've been kind of mulling this a little bit. When you have a good one, it is really, really beneficial.
It's a luxury.
It's a luxury, right? I mean, Padres have a really good closer. Can you imagine the games that they have won if you didn't have a good closer?
Probably from 17 and 11, they'd be at least 14 and 14.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Lower
maybe
than
even
that.
A little bit lower than that. And so, in terms of importance, I don't know that you can put them super high on the list. But you know when you got one, because there's just less worry when you get to those innings than there is when you got a guy who's struggling. In my opinion, I always when the Yankees made this move, I had my concerns. You know, Devin has struggled at different times in Milwaukee. As I've told you guys, New York is not cut out for everybody.
That's the question I have for him.
You have to have a certain type of thick skin to go out in New York and be able to deal with all of it. The success and the failures, because you're going to hear about all of it. There ain't no way to hide in New York. There was nowhere to hide in New York when there was no social media. There's zero corners to go to now that there is social media. So I do appreciate his words, though. He seems like he's owning the fact that he hasn't pitched well and that he's got to earn it
back. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And I would caution Yankee fans. Josh Hader didn't seem like he could get anybody out for that one stretch for the Padres.
Oh, yeah, that was tough.
He's pretty much out to being Josh Hader again. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up on Devin, but you're right that the Yankee thing, that concerns me because not everybody can do it there.
No. It's a very tough place, very tough market to be in if you're not prepared for that.
You better have really thick skin. So, Scraby, you can't pitch there.
You can't. Fine, you can't walk the streets there.
I don't want to go there. Oh, that would scare me. It'd be like, Scraby, you stink!
First of all, if they said it like that, you'd be grateful.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot harder than that. Than what you just... That was very nice, the way you said that.
Number one.
All right, game etiquette. I was at the game yesterday, wanted your guys' opinion on something that happened. During the game, there were a few instances of fans standing up during the game and not moving. I didn't say anything, but I was getting a little anxiety buildup because I wanted to say something.
Okay.
Yes, this is me.
Okay.
They were standing for a good 45 seconds and blocking out the field, all because they were sneaking into seats. So that was people number one. So we had to deal with that. Fast forward to near the end of the game, and there were people in their seats in front of us. They had two small kids with them, one a baby, and one was like maybe 4 years old. Well, the dad stood up during the game to go through his backpack on his seat. So he's completely blocking home plate for all of us in the view. I was being patient because I can assume it's not easy to have two young kids at a baseball game. But this went on for a minute when finally someone from behind me yelled, "Hey, sit down, we can't see." And the guy was not happy about it. He shot a look back up. The wife shot a look back up. And I thought we were going to fight in the stands. That they sat down, but not until a good 45 seconds of bag rifling. My question is, Chris, how long would you wait before you ask someone to sit down?
I'm stupid. I would take it for way... yeah, I would sit there and not say anything for way longer than I should.
Like, are we? We're talking like...
I would be annoyed by it. Then I would be pissed. Then I would go to my wife or you and go, "Can you believe these people are saying that?" But I wouldn't yell out anything to them because I hate starting stuff.
Oh, no.
So that's your answer. But to answer what I feel about those people who were standing up and then got mad that somebody would dare mention it, I'm going to need the whole next segment for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tony, how long would you wait before you ask someone to sit down? I think a minute is a long time.
I might give you a batter.
A full batter?
I mean, assuming it's a normal at bat, not like a 12 pitch or okay. 8 pitch, you know, like a normal AB. I give you that. But afterwards, excuse me, you know, I'd like to watch the game. You guys are standing up.
Well, I'm just trying to get my baby.
I understand.
Okay?
But I want to watch the game too.
My kid is hungry. Trying to get something
out
of the bag.
You're not just blocking me, sir. You're blocking everybody. Nobody can see the game right now.
Well, who cares? They're losing anyway.
Security!
Isn't it funny that you know everything that rude person would say?
Right.
I did not say anything. We'll be back. Maybe we'll talk some more about it on the other side.